Welcome to the Countdown Podcast. Today we're reviewing Godzilla x Kong. The what empire?
The new empire.
Or Godzilla x Kong. It depends on your preferences. My name is Wayne.
And my name is Paul. And it's actually Godzilla x Kong colon the new empire, as we are all well aware. This is...
Not all of us.
This is directed by Adam Wingard. It is the fifth film in the MonsterVerse franchise and the 38th film of the Godzilla franchise.
What?
And the 13th film in the King Kong franchise. There you go, putting all those different franchises together.
On.
The only one that matters really is the MonsterVerse. It's screenplays by Terry Rossio, Simon Barrett, and Jeremy Slater. Of course, based on Godzilla and Mothra by Toho Company Limited. Stars Rebecca Hall, Brian Tyree Henry, Dan Stevens, Kaylee Hottle, Alex Ferns, and Fala Chen. Rachel Young, I think, also pops up in there. The score is from Tom Hockenberg and Antonio Di Iorio. Just thought I'd mention that.
Sure.
Runtime, 115 minutes, Wayne. What do you think the budget was on this big, big monster, boys?
Very CGI-ish.
Very.
Let's go with, 110.
Not bad. $135 million. Wow. And it's making bank because as of time of recording, Sunday afternoon, it's already turned over $75 million in the North America. It looks like it might be on its way to something approaching $100 million for its opening weekend.
What? Okay. Yeah.
Now, before we go into the plot synopsis, which Wayne will give you, big thanks to Evie from Universal Pictures Australia for the invite.
Evie.
We got to see this at a packed opening.
It was packed.
Or viewing advanced screening once again. So thank you very much, Evie, for that. Wayne, what is this one about?
The internet says...
Pretty simple.
Yeah, it says Godzilla and the almighty Kong face a colossal threat hidden deep within the planet, challenging their very existence and the survival of the human race. That's all I got, Paul. That's all I got.
All right, well, that probably tells a lot about the film. This was largely filmed on the Gold Coast, Wayne. Started in July 2022 and finished in November 2022. And there you go. So it's about 18-month turnaround in post-production for this particular film, which reflects on the amount of CG in it.
Yeah.
On Rotten Tomatoes, the bona fide paid critics say 55% of 164 critics' reviews are positive, with an average score of 5.7 out of 10. On Metacritic, usually harsher, 47 out of 100 based on 47 critics. And here you go, Wayne. Audiences polled by CinemaScore gave the average grade of A- on the A+ to F scale as exiting the cinema.
I think this is a really audience-specific film slash franchise because I myself are going to war. Like, well, I didn't think we'd have to get there that early. Maybe it wouldn't be that packed. It was hugely packed and everyone, massive line, and we're like, holy shit. So I think if you like kaiju, you really like kaiju.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, I mean, Godzilla has a huge fan base. I guess King Kong is slightly smaller, but the whole kaiju thing is really a phenomenon, which I don't think either you or I have really gotten on board with. So probably important to lead with that caveat at the top of this review.
Absolutely. And you know what? I was at breakfast with my mom yesterday and she goes, I like Godzilla. And I was like, wow. What? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, I don't think she meant this particular franchise, but she said in general. I'm like, you like Godzilla? She's like, yeah. I'm like, okay. Wasn't expecting
Imagine
that.
If your mum was a Godzilla super fan who knew all 38 films.
That would blow my mind. It's like, oh, like, what? Oh, hell no. So, yes, very important.
Hidden depth to your mum.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, Wayne, without any further ado, what did you think of Godzilla x Kong colon the new empire?
Now, by way of disclaimer, I did not know this was actually a franchise until minutes before the movie. So, I was in, you know, just sitting down and I was like, oh, let me see, look at this YouTube kind of pre-thing saying like, oh, here was what you need to know before the Godzilla x Kong thing. I was like, wait, is this a franchise? And so I'm like, oh, it's the other, because I honestly, I could not pick
would
together.
Fuck you. No!
The Millie Bobby Brown one, like the one before that and the one before.
Was that
2 ago?
Yeah, I think it's.
What was the last one?
She might have been the last one too.
I don't know.
I'm not pretending I'm an expert in this suit, but I absolutely knew this follows.
They seem disparate. They
Godzilla,
seem like...
2014. Kong, Skull Island.
Yeah.
Godzilla, King of the Monsters. And then Godzilla versus Kong, the last one. So
okay,
the one.
Was Matthew Broderick in any of those?
No, that's 1998's Godzilla.
See, there's a shit ton of these things. And then he's got Godzilla M-1. I know that's Japanese. I know that's not part of this
well,
one.
Well, at least you managed to work out that wasn't part of
this
universe.
It's very confusing, Paul. Okay, so yeah. And so no Hank Azaria either. All right, no, got it.
Also
right.
1998
Also 1998,
Godzilla.
Fine. Okay. All right, fair enough. Well, now that I got most of it straight, I will tell you that all the other movies I found wildly forgettable.
The best of them is the first one, the 2014 Gareth Edwards Godzilla.
Can you tell me a little bit about that one?
Bryan Cranston, Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yep, sort of.
Attack San Francisco, destroy San Francisco, the launch pad for pretty much the whole MonsterVerse. You watch the whole series. They keep referencing what happens in San Fran. That's that event.
Sounds like all of them, but okay. I didn't even know that the monster, you know, the Kurt Russell, Wyatt Russell one, I didn't know that was a part of this either. So I'm like, oh, I thought it was a completely separate thing. So there you are. But yes, back to this movie for what it's worth. Look, I'll be honest.
Nine years, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, for what it's worth.
Of which, in that time, all of these films other than Godzilla came out.
Yeah, so I've seen them all, okay. But I'm going to remember this one just as fondly, I would say. Because
shots fired.
Yeah, only because, like, look, it's the same stuff. If you know the other one before, there's a TARDIS situation happening in the middle of the Earth TARDIS where situations. Like it's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside somehow. There's a sky.
I don't know, that's the truth. There's a hollow Earth.
But there's a sky in there, Paul, and there's sun, so I don't know what's going on.
Yep.
But okay, maybe it's magic. I don't know. All right. And then most of the shit happens in there, okay? So I will tell you this. Godzilla is largely to the side because Kong gets all the screen time and, frankly, character development. It is his film.
I would agree. He's basically the protagonist in this movie.
I would say that Rebecca Hall has a very unfortunate haircut.
Paul, I stand resolute, motherfucker!
As you know, I'm a big fan of Rebecca Hall's, and then Paul leans over like, I do apologize, I'm sorry about her haircut. And I'm like, we're all sorry, Paul. I will tell you that what I felt from going through the film was that I thought the script, like, felt a little bit like, it just felt like they were making it up as they were going along. Like, there's a scene where one guy is like, okay, so we've got a problem. You guys keep throwing solutions at the wall. I'm just going to go somewhere and do this thing and then come back. And it's like, what? And it's like, the thing that I'm going to do is the exact thing that we need for this situation. We just happen to have already made it. And I'm like, okay. So, like, you know, it's, I guess disaster porn is big. This movie doesn't care about collateral damage.
Nope.
A lot of the battles happen where buildings, which definitely have people in them, many of them get leveled. So lots of people die in this thing.
Although you don't see a single one. I see one person die in the whole film.
No, but it's you know, it's not as though it's like,
it's implied.
It's not like Batman.
But it's funny
Superman,
though that a film like this, and I get it, it's marauding monsters, yet people are up in arms when Superman's trying to defend the world against a villain, and there's some collateral damage in buildings.
Well, so much so that they had to actually make the point and be up and say, we're going to this island where no one's there. Okay, all right. Now we can have an action.
Or how about the line of whichever subsequent DC film was where Batman's like, do we get everyone out of the city? Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? It's like, okay, fine. And, you know, to some degree, it's like, all right, fair enough. I would say that that Dan Stevens fellow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I recognize him. I don't know where I've seen him.
Yeah, he's in a bunch of stuff.
He's
a frequent, or once, Adam Wingard collaborator on a really great little horror movie called The Guest.
The Guest. Oh, yeah. No, I think that's right. I haven't seen that movie, but I've seen the video cover.
He's also in Downton Abbey.
Ah, okay.
Which is something that you and I have watched every episode of three times over. Not
once. And so I would say his character helped me get through it. I would say that, like, he's just, and not for any reason other than he's like lighthearted. Like, all this shit's going down and he's like, wow, this is interesting.
Well, his introduction is to rock music as he lowers from a helicopter to pull out a sawtooth of Kong's.
That's right. Now, has he been in the other films?
No. Nah.
Okay. So... So that, I know Brian Tyree.
Yeah, he was in the last one.
He was in the last one. I found his humor largely flat.
Yeah.
I did not actually necessarily
his
like.
His characters are very flat. I mean, obviously Trapper or Topper, whatever the fuck his name is, has, Dan Stevens has a little bit of life to him. He's chewing some scenery.
Yes.
Everybody else is either, their jokes are falling, i.e. Brian Tyree Henry's character's jokes, not Brian Tyree Henry. He didn't write the script.
No.
His character's jokes are crap. The human connection in this film, look, they've at least learned their lesson. They've gone away from there being too many human characters. They've really shrunk the cast here.
Yeah.
So instead of there being three groups running around doing bits and pieces like in the last movie.
You remember that?
There's one.
Okay.
There's one group. They're largely together the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. Look, I would say
that's
overall.
That's a good decision because the characters are shit. They've always been shit. They've been shit in every film other than arguably the first Godzilla film. The human connection, I didn't give a flying fuck about any of the. They could have all died horrendously as far as I was concerned, and my feelings would not have changed about this movie.
Isn't it funny that you've got this Hollywood machine where it's like people are like, get the people out of the way so I can see the damn, you know.
Yeah.
And then you've got like Godzilla Minus One where it's like, kind of get Godzilla out of the way so I can figure out this love story. Like, it's just somehow it. There's two different like objectives.
Well, the difference is Godzilla Minus One is a genuinely good film. And unfortunately, with the possible exception of 2014 Godzilla, none of these MonsterVerse movies have been very good.
No,
and popcorn filler at best. Now, it sounds like I'm being really, really highly critical here, and I am. It's not a good movie. The script is absolute dog shit. It's one of the most conveniently written bullshit scripts. Even if you do away with the pseudoscience and lack thereof and the fact that at one stage there's a hollow earth within a hollow earth and shit like that, if you just get past the conveniences and the plot contrivances and whatever else, what is good about the movie is you go to see this kind of film to see big monsters smash it, and you get to see it.
You do. And so, yes, I should mention that as well. It's dumb at times, but it's dumb fun at times.
Yes.
So it's like if you, and I think I see why these films keep succeeding, is because at the end of the day, whoever went to see it to see something tends to get that thing.
Do you remember that cartoon, Wayne?
Godzilla and Godzuki. That one. Do, do, do,
do, do, do. Yeah. In fact, we can do better than that. Let's just play it.
Up from the depths, 30 stories high, breathing fire, his head in the sky. Godzilla, 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 and Godzilla.
I think you can all agree.
If you now...
we nailed it.
Yeah. If you now change the words of that to be Godzilla and King Kong. Like, that is this film. This is like a Saturday morning cartoon. It's so stupid, and they just have stupid fights, and sometimes between each other, sometimes with other monsters, and then we'll get to the plot, because there's not much to spoil here.
No, there's not much to spoil.
You know, but we'll hit the button so I can just talk about some of the absolutely stupid moments in the script. The CG is pretty bad in this
movie. Is it?
I thought I didn't think it was that bad. PS4-like. It's so over-the-top, ridiculously coloured, and it's so obviously fake. I mean, how do you make big monsters look real? Look at Gareth Edwards' Godzilla from 2014. Even to some degree, look at Pacific Rim, where Totoro locks off the camera down low and gives you a sense of scale and mass to these things, right? There's none of that here. At times, Godzilla and King Kong look like they could just be normal sort of size, duking it out at human level size. And it's only for me. There were some nice shots where it zoomed around and pirouetted and
that's what I like.
All the rest of it. That sort of gave you a little bit more variation to things. But gee, I thought the CG was average AF.
Let me ask you this. So I didn't bump into it, but like when you look at CG on this level for this type of thing and this style of CG, and you compare it to, say, Godzilla Minus One, right?
Which won the Academy Award?
Now, Godzilla Minus One, the reason that won an Academy Award is because it had character to the CGI. It actually looked a little bit, but not too much, like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, a little bit.
It was $15 million I made that movie for.
Yeah.
1/9 but they've of made the budget of this film.
Yeah, but they've made a creative decision that worked.
Yeah.
This one here, it looks like a Hollywood thing, like a CG, like this high def kind of, you know,
it never looks remotely real.
So the scale was not represented in the movement, you say,
at various times, and the camera movement and everything else. But like even when they're interacting with these characters, they just look CG. It looks fake the whole time.
Especially the baby. Well, that's a spoiler. Yeah.
Anyway, that was in the trailer. But
yes. So the baby King Kong. Yeah, that one looked. Yeah, exactly. It's no. It's no War of the Planet of the Apes. I can tell you that.
100% not. All right. So it sounds like we're not hating on the film.
Not hating on the film.
But it's not good. It's not. I can't recommend it unless you love these films.
If you're a fan, you probably have a good time with it. Yeah.
Get out there and see it. But this will not change anyone's mind about either kaiju films or the MonsterVerse.
I think it's just to make a bunch of money and let everyone move on. I think that's what it's supposed to do. And apparently it's doing it.
Well, yeah, there we go. All right then, without any further ado, let's hear from Jack and then get into spoilers.
You can't handle the truth!
The truth is, this is making bank whilst being one of the worst scripts that's arguably made by a major studio.
Since you remember all the films, Paul, can you tell me where this one slots? Or all
I think the last two, I gave almost all of them 2 stars, with the exception of the first Godzilla, which was either 3 or 3.5 stars. This one, I mean, it's not better. Maybe I've just been pummeled into senselessness by this series of films. And then the TV show, which was way too long and boring.
See, that's the thing. I like the TV show and you didn't.
So you didn't even know that we're in the same universe, Wayne.
I know.
So your opinion matters, not a sausage.
No, but here's the thing. Maybe it means it's more valid because as far as I knew, it was a new franchise and it was harder to get into. What? So, you know.
Yeah, I just think this film is very, 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 very stupid. For example, Wayne.
Yes, go on, please.
I can't remember who it was, but somebody said to director Adam Wingard after the last film, you know what you should do? I think it was Jason Eisner, the guy who directed Hobo with a Shotgun.
Okay.
He said to Adam Wingard, So the legend goes, you should put a power glove on Kong in any future film. And he's like, fuck, we should. All right. And so they went ahead and did that. That might be the single most egregiously stupid thing that's come out of any movie since Fast 10.
Do you know what the thing about what the thing him wearing one? I didn't necessarily have a problem with it, but what?
Let me count the ways why you should, Wayne.
Okay, it looks like he put Bumblebee on his arm, by the way.
Yes. So he gets frozen. So there's a Kong sort of.
Okay, no, here.
Sorry, Godzilla equivalent.
Yes.
Monster down.
The reason he got it is ridiculous
because his arm got frozen, so he can't use his arm anymore. So yes. Dan Stevens' character goes, ah, it's all right. We've got the prototype over here,
which happens to be the exact one piece that he happens.
Which
to
they
need.
Brought down at whatever point in time they did before, so it perfectly fits Kong's arm. Brilliant. Yep. So he goes and gets it, and then while Kong is just laying there, sort of nursing his wound, manages to slip this gauntlet over his arm.
Yep.
Amazing with his one helicopter to do that. Yep. Incredible. Which also has retrofitted into it medicine for frozen arms.
There you go. And that was it. I was sitting there
fuck.
That was the problem I had. Not him using it, but him there going like, okay, well, we've got this. That's the bit I was talking about. They're like, how are we going to do this problem? He goes, you know, I've got a crazy idea. And then he just fucks off to get this arm that was magically done there before, and there's not like there's all these different body parts. There's only an arm there, and he just fucking brings it back. Well, how fortunate, right?
Lucky we built this tech exactly. to just such an occasion.
Exactly.
Here's one we prepared earlier.
Exactly. But then when he puts it on, it's like, yeah, but his arm's still fucked up because those injections should take care of the frostbite. And I was like, what?
So in what universe?
Who built that into a thing?
Did you allow for medicine that will heal frozen, frostbitten arms?
And you didn't know that it was even a cold area there. You didn't know there was a dragon that spewed fire. Exactly. So I'm like, that's how something going. Like when that happened, we all went, oh my God. But maybe, and here's the thing, right? This is why Christopher Nolan is the bomb. Christopher Nolan could put that in his film and you wouldn't bat an eyelid. It's just that it's this film. Like, it's like, oh my God, that's ridiculous. Because the deal hasn't been made with the audience enough where you're like, yeah, sure, that'll happen.
In fact, that's what you run into a lot. Okay, so Kong's got a sore tooth. He's got a connection to the last tribe member from the island. Turns out that there's a whole people of hers still alive in Hollow Earth, but Kong goes to her for help with his sore tooth.
Didn't they connect in the last movie though? Didn't she put her foot on his head? Yeah. Yeah, so that's why he would go to her. He recognizes her. That's something. It's better than the fucking arm.
So he thinks she's going to get this open. So they can communicate. Like at one point, he signs back to her and she understands. So he's smart enough.
Yeah, so I think like this is the human that I can actually communicate with. That's not bad.
And they just lays there and okay, and they knock him out. Okay, and they change his tooth. All right, fine. Still feels a bit weird.
Also, I don't know how you put it.
Meanwhile, Godzilla apparently knew that the monsters from down below were going to attack because he starts intuitively chasing all the other big monsters and sucking their power up to become amazing, not just fire, but what do they call it? The breath? Atomic breath? Not just atomic breath Godzilla, but atomic super fucking duper breath Godzilla.
Oh, I didn't know he'd upgraded. I thought he was just fighting motherfuckers.
But
there you go. Though
he hadn't done any of that.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla would only come when there was a threat.
That's right.
And yet these things have been hanging around forever and he hasn't bothered. But now he does, just in time to be just superpowered enough to actually save humanity. Once, in arguably the funniest shot I've seen in a movie in a long time.
Which what?
When Kong's gone up to get Godzilla to bring him back down to Hollow Earth to fight this monkey king and his pet ice-breathing dragon.
Yeah.
He puts his hands up like, no, don't do that. Like in this human-like gesture of, no, I'm not going to fight you.
I was like,
hilarious.
Oh, okay.
Because of course, A, the monkey understands that, and B, Godzilla's going to understand that. Was so stupid.
At this stage, to me, that's like way too much thinking for this movie.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And then once they started smashing shit, you know, and I did also find it vaguely amusing that they smash shit everywhere other than America. Ah, we're not going to destroy American cities though. Let's destroy. He was running through Italy, and Godzilla sleeping in the Colosseum just curls up like a cat in there.
Yeah, that was like.
And then in the Gaza Strip or wherever we are, and destroying pyramids.
The pyramids. I was sitting there going, "Holy shit!" The pyramids are all just wasted because of these motherfuckers. That's that. Yeah, I suppose that. But if you're filmmaking,
and then Mothra, and here's another plot device. Great. So the little girl, she's got a telepathic connection to all of them, not just Kong, and she talks to Mothra, who forms because of reasons. And then flies up to tell Godzilla, no, stop. Come with me. Let's fight these other things. Okay. Like, what is going on here?
Absolutely. And I mean, again, at that stage, I'd stop thinking. It was just like.
This film will pummel you senseless.
Yeah.
It is, like I said, it's a Saturday morning cartoon.
It's like.
It's got that level of plot.
Which I think is, like, if you're saying that, right? And we went to the trouble of playing the fucking, like, yeah, TV show. Like, it probably is a win. I would say that this, for the people, for the audience it's going for, it's a win. This sounds like, this movie is like a Reddit subreddit about Godzilla, but they just did everything that everyone said. That's what it is. So I think, like, maybe that's what people came for. Like I said, people clapped at the end. Do you remember that, Paul?
Yeah, I did.
So I'm like, there you go. I reckon the people who love it will love this. And if you love this type of thing, I recommend you go see it.
Do you want to take a guess what happens at the end of the movie, dear listener? Yes, I'm sure you've seen the film, so hopefully if you've listened this far. Amazingly enough, they survive and kill the bad guy, but not the bad dragon, because then Kong rides back down to where all the monkeys are, the king apes are, and is going to be their new king.
Yes.
With the help of his, you know, his initial antagonistic little ape, who he realizes, oh, Kong treats me better than my tribe does, so I'm going to join with him, and he becomes his steadfast ally, which was arguably fun.
That's, again, there's plot, like there's that character development.
How about that bit when Kong picked him up and used him as a weapon?
That was funny as hell. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of shit's hilarious, right? And he, by the way, was not phased at all.
Not hurt at all.
Like, it's a baby basically, even though he's that size, and he's getting used as a baseball bat. Yep. He's fine later.
Yeah, he's fine. Shrugs it off.
No problem.
Bit of a glare. Roll on. But how about the fact the gauntlet also protects against the ice breathing dragon?
Oh yeah, yeah. That, like, there's no holes in it at all. Like, it's an exoskeleton.
Doesn't burn his arm at all.
Nope, it's fine. Again, it had the fucking injections in it, so why wouldn't it be a ward off of fucking? You know what? That's, again, didn't even think that. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure that's fine.
All right. Well, clearly you like this more than I do, Wayne. What are you scoring? Godzilla X Kong : The New Empire.
Look, I've already forgotten this film, so I can't give it a high score, even though I said,
be defending it.
This is good for people. So I'm going to say
good
that.
Good for people.
No, it's good for people who like it. I'm just not one of them. So
that's
going to
be on the
mind,
blurb, the new
good
trailer.
Good for people.
Godzilla X Kong : The New Empire is good for people. Way to resume the Countdown podcast.
To that end, I'm not going to say it's good, so it's going to go 49. I tried to get it to 50, and the truth is I don't care enough. So there you go.
45 for me.
45.
45, so we're right around the same place after all that discussion. Wayne steadfastly defending my criticism of, like, Kong with a gauntlet against a ice-breathing dragon.
Again, I don't think you're supposed to think in this film. Doesn't mean you can't.
2024 is, boy, it needs to get better in terms of cinema releases. It really, really does. You June know, part two, you are shouldering the load all on your lonesome.
I'm really looking forward to The Fall Guy. Like, I it's really want to see it.
That's
I
coming.
Really
There's a whole bunch of films coming up, including next week, Monkey Man is a film that we're going to be reviewing on the show. Dev Patel's directorial debut. Looks like a bit of a action extravaganza.
It's awesome.
Looks cool.
So, oh, wait, sorry, it looks cool.
Fingers crossed.
There you are.
Thank you so much for joining us today for this particular review. You can let us know what you thought via email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com, on X, @thecountdownpc. You can like and follow the show through Podbean, where we host, and check out the Facebook listening community for discussions about this film and all other things Countdown related. The link is in the show notes. And that's it for us. My name is Paul.
My name's Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
What? No.
This entire franchise. We'll catch you next time. See ya.